The RDF has revealed that a series of catastrophic mistakes and incorrect assumptions led to their convoy being repeatedly targeted. Daniel Levy, a former Israeli negotiator with the Palestinians, says it raises questions about other deaths.
It's absolutely right that this should have this attention drawn to it, but the attention has not been drawn to those thousands upon thousands of Palestinian children who have been killed. We haven't had these investigations. Apparently those deaths matter a whole lot less.
The Metropolitan Police says it's looking into reports of a Westminster sexting scam after a senior Tory said he was tricked into sharing colleagues' personal details. MP William Ragg told The Times he was manipulated after sharing explicit pictures with someone on a dating app. Chancellor Jeremy Hunt is backing him, but says says he should have been more cautious.
The lesson here for all MPs is that they need to be very careful about cyber security. And indeed, it's the lesson for members of the public as well, because this is something that we are all having to face in our daily lives.
Senior doctors in England have accepted an improved pay offer from the government. Consultants within the British Medical Association voted in favour of the new deal. Parts of England will have no rail services at all today because of a strike at 5 train operators, including East and West Midlands and Avanti West Coast. Drivers with the ASNEF union are holding walkouts at different companies today, tomorrow and on Monday. The Met Office has updated its warnings to say that stronger gusts are more likely this weekend as Storm Kathleen heads towards the country. The forecaster has issued yellow weather warnings for wind in western areas of the UK from tomorrow morning. And 6 prisoners in New York have been told they will be allowed to watch a solar eclipse on Monday after they sued. The men claim that being prevented from seeing it would breach their religious rights. That's the latest. I'm Simon English.
Thanks very much, Simon. We'll have another news update in an hour's time.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Well, it's fairly overcast outside here in Brentwood this afternoon, and locally we are saying that it should be a dry afternoon though, so no more rain and hopefully some sunny intervals, and then a lovely sunny evening for a couple of hours. Let's hope that really happens. High of 17 and a low of 12 tonight. Tomorrow, a lovely sunny day, but it's going to have gusty wind with it, so maybe it's not going to be quite so lovely after all. High of 20 and a low of 12. Sunday, well, again, we're looking at gusty winds, sunny intervals throughout the day, a high of 16 and a low of 8. And then the rain returns on Monday, a day of light rain.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Patrick Sherring. Music and conversation on 123. Welcoming the weekend on Phoenix 98 FM.
I say good afternoon. Welcome along to the show today. And thanks as ever to Keith for great broadcasting. And I'm sure, as he said, he'll be back soon. Michelle will be with you on Monday between 10 and 1. So my name is Patrick, and this is the show that we call 123 Friday. 2 hours of good music and chat for your Friday lunchtime entertainment. And so let's do this in reverse order. About 2:30, the vintage chart today will be taking us back to 1985. 3 great tracks. At about 2:45, we will have the birthday competition. 3 artists who've had birthdays in recent times. You can email me, radio@phoenixfm.com, if you think you know how they are, and you'll play against the regulars. But delighted to say that I have a guest here in the studio with me this afternoon. Good afternoon, Tony.
Good afternoon, Patrick.
It's great to have you with us here this afternoon, Tony. What are you going to be talking to us about?
I'm going to be talking to you about the Friends of Muncher. And the Muncher is a rural community in the Rift Valley in Kenya. And there is a school there which I have been involved with for the last 10 years, supporting that school, helping them to develop their programme, build new buildings and create a secondary school. So that's what I'd like to talk to you about this
Brilliant.
Afternoon.
It sounds like it'd be fantastic, Keith. We really look forward to that, Tony. Thank you very much.
For the best, music and chat in town. Patrick Fleming on Phoenix FM.
So that's our show. Do keep it Phoenix for the next couple of hours. And these are the Piano Guys. This track's called It's Gonna Be Okay. Came out in 2016 and has had over 11 million views on YouTube.
Broken record that stays inside my head. I try to turn it down, can't quite drown it out. I'm tortured every day. These never-ending worries pulling on my sleeve. So many times now I was supposed to tap out. All the walls would fall down around me. All anybody would tell me is all that bad news. How it's gonna fall through. But no matter what. For all of us, saying we are not enough. So fight for your life. The world's gonna try to sell you some lies. So many times now, I was supposed to tap out. All the walls would fall down around me. All anybody would tell me is all bad news. Now it's gonna fall through. But no matter what they say or what they say, it's gonna be okay.
Piano Guys, and it's going to be okay. These are Crosby, Stills and Nash from the 1970 classic album Deja Vu, which was a UK number five, a USA number three, top 10 in four more countries in the 2020 list of the Rolling Stone magazine's 500 greatest albums of all time. It was there at number 220. This seemed rather appropriate with what all that Tony's going to be talking about. This is Teach Your Children Well.
have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go high, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would die, just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. Your elders grew high, so please help them with your youth. They seek the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they
That's a great track, isn't it? That's Crosby, Stills and Nash, and Teach Children Well. And, of course, we all need to do that. And we'll be chatting along with Tony, finding out about all the teaching that goes on in this place in Kenya, just in a moment.
The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club, and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults, and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. Book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Want to get the home improvements you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank? Thanks to SEHBSC, you can now transform your home for less. We're offering up to 40% off our extensive range of high-quality windows, doors, conservatories and extensions. Plus, 2 years interest-free finance available. Get the inspiration you need and breathe new life into your home at a price you can afford by visiting your nearest SEHBAC showroom or SEHBAC.com. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm John Sharma, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for top local, national and international sports stories, plus live sports, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Yes, that's the only place to hear all of the information about all of our local sports teams here at Brentwood, Billericay, and the other local ones in the Essex area. All there together with your national and international sports stories. And of course, you can find out all about all our shows in the Brentwood Gazette, where there's always a feature article about the station together with our full schedule. It's all there in the Gazette. Chatting here with Tony this afternoon at just about 1:15 or so on a Friday lunchtime. So, Tony, remind us again where this place is in Africa.
Well, Muncha is in the Rift Valley. It's a Maasai community right in the depths of the Rift Valley, where the children have to walk miles to school. No school buses, no parents in Range Rovers taking them there. They have to walk to school. And I got involved with them about 10 or 12 years ago.
Okay. And how did that happen? How did you first hear about these people and all that goes on there?
Well, I was at Anglia Ruskin University at the time, and I was going to Kenya on some university business, liaising with local universities and what have you. And then I got talking to somebody I think you know, Patrick, Tony Kant.
Okay.
Who was at that time the chaplain at Anglia Ruskin University.
Yes.
And he had been in contact with Professor Arthur Hibble, who's at Cambridge University, who's got a relation out there. His son is married to a Kenyan woman, and they'd identified this school, which was in a fairly poor state of repair and needed supporting and developing. So while I was in Kenya, I had the opportunity to go and visit the school, and that's the beginning of a very long story.
Okay, and what were your first impressions of it when you went there?
That's quite interesting. I saw how it needed a lot of investment. I mean, the buildings were not in a great shape, and they needed to be more self-sufficient, and they had problems with water and electricity and that sort of thing. So I was convinced that maybe I could help. And that's when the Friends of the Muncha, which had already been set up, asked me to get involved as a trustee and as treasurer, and I thought that's one way I can contribute to the development of this community.
Well, that sounds interesting, Tony. Now, when we hear the word Maasai, we tend to think of people who are not particularly settled in one area. Is that right, or is that just a preconception? Or
Maasai warriors, the Maasai people, rather. They do have famous warriors as part of their thing, but they are fairly mobile because they follow the seasons.
Sure,
they look after cattle, and it's where they can get grass and water and what have you. So they move as communities. This community is relatively settled, and it's sort of administered by the Maasai community, who are highly intelligent, and wanted to actually improve the lot of their children in an ever-changing society.
Right. Do you know how long that kind of settlement had been there, that school had been in operation?
The school had been there for about 10 years before we got there. It was a small school. It was developing. And the idea with the Friends of Namuncha was that we'd raise money here in the UK and help them develop it and address some of the problems that they face.
Right, okay. Well, that sounds really interesting, Tony. Okay, well, we'll come and find out a little bit more about your visits, about the developments that have happened in that time and the wider work of that organisation. So, the first of the three tracks that you've asked for us here today is the Commodores, Three Times a Lady. So, why have we got this?
Well, this is a very special song to myself and my wife, who unfortunately passed away late last year. But it was our song, so to speak. So it's in memory of Caroline, my wife, and it's just a lovely song.
It is.
Our first date was to see a Lionel Richie concert.
Oh, so. My word. Where was that?
At the O2.
Okay, great. Well, of course, this was clearly lots of people's special song. Just to say a little bit about it, 1978, a UK number one for 5 weeks. It was also a number one in USA, Canada, Philippines and South Africa, and it was top five in no less than 25 more countries. The Commodores, with Lionel Richie, of course, on lead vocals.
Thanks for the times that you've given me. The memories are all in my mind. And now that we've come to the end of our rainbow, there's something I must say out loud. You once, twice, three times later, and I love. Yes, you once, twice, three times later, and I love you. I love you. Moments I cherish with every beat of my heart. To touch you, to hold you, to feel you, to need you. There's nothing to keep us
It's a beautiful track, isn't it? The Commodores and Three Times a Lady. 24 minutes after one here on a Friday lunchtime, and it's time that we found out what's happening with all of the local travel.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
Well, it's not particularly good news at the moment if you're around the M25. Let's do that first. The slow-moving traffic in both directions approaching Junction 28, the A12 anti-clockwise back to Junction 29, the A127, and clockwise in the other direction back to 27, the M11. It's very, very busy indeed. This, of course, is making a knock-on effect onto the Street roundabout with the A12 busy both directions that's approaching that roundabout as well. So do be aware of that. Locally, in the centre of Billericay, a little bit of traffic build up there. Also round Shenfield Station as well. There's some problems on the road down there. In Shenfield itself as well, up by Shenfield School, there is some roadworks happening there, which is causing a little bit of a hold up. The centre of Billericay, rather the centre of Brentwood, of course, round Wilson's Corner, that's busy as ever for a Friday, particularly coming along the Ongar Road. If we go out a little bit further at the moment, not too bad on anywhere else on the A12, delighted to say. Busy at Hoe Green, particularly approaching that junction on the road there. Let me see, on the A130. That's particularly busy at that. The rest of that is not too bad at all. Centre of Chelmsford, busy around the Army and Navy. Otherwise, not too bad. I'll give you another travel update in an hour, and if anything major comes in, I'll let you know all about it. So that's our local travel information there. What I didn't have time to put in that was that there were locally, there was problems earlier on the M11, and I can tell you that that has now all been cleared, and that's all easy going at the moment. So that's good. So, and of course, Joe, when we do the travel update at around 3:30, you'll get all of the information in relation with the tubes and the overground as well. So chatting here with Tony and telling us about this settled Maasai community in Kenya, where there is a school that he saw. How many years ago was that, Tony, you went?
It was about 11, 12 years ago.
Okay, and so on that first trip, you decided that it would be good to become involved?
Absolutely. I could see there was a lot to be done, and I had been in Africa before. I had worked in Africa.
Oh, okay.
So I got an affiliation for Africa, and I could see that with the resources that we could put together, we could make a serious contribution to the improvement of the facilities that they had.
Right. Okay. So what were early priorities then?
Well, there were three major priorities. One was to put in a wind pump, which sort of drew up the water and also generated some electricity.
Right.
So that was a priority. We did that. We also established what you might call a market garden, because they didn't have that much fresh produce. So we established an area where they could start growing their own produce and get healthier meals.
Right. Well, would that be kind of countercultural for people who tended to be people who were sort of nomadic?
Absolutely. They were just not familiar with that. We are here in this country. So, yeah, they needed a lot of explanation and some resources and some help in developing that. But that now has proved a total lifeline for them, particularly as there has been a lot of drought in the area. So a lot of the vegetables and vegetation that they used to live on, plus availability of cattle and what have you, has reduced. So this has been very important to them.
Right, that's good. So that was a couple of priorities. I think I interrupted you where there was a third one as well.
Charlotte Hibble, who is the wife of Arthur Hibble, who sort of started this initiative, was very keen to support the women in the community, because there were no facilities at the community, which meant that, you know, for a period every month, the young women couldn't even get to school.
Okay.
Because of their natural menstrual cycle,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
And there were just no facilities for them. So we started out by installing combustible toilets so that they had the right sort of facilities in order to be able to go to school and not have to take a break.
Right.
And then we advanced that to actually offering scholarships so that these young ladies could actually have the opportunities that it was only the young men who could have in the education cycle.
Well, this is fascinating, Tony, really, isn't it? So this is a great deal of development and a vision to kind of really take this forward in ways that I should think were almost overwhelming, really, for some of the people there.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, it was all due to Charlotte, I have to say. It was her initiative initially. But we all bought into it, and it, you know, I managed to take some, for instance, some laptops from Anglia Ruskin University, because they get through laptops, and I managed to persuade the IT department to clean them up, and I took them out. It was rather expensive to take them out, but it meant that they had these laptops, and we got them internet access. So again, it was improving the opportunities that they had.
Right, now that's an interesting bit as well within that, because surely that this would be maybe a little bit of an area, I mean, I don't know, from the way you described it, was slightly remote maybe, and so I would have thought internet access might be a very difficult and expensive thing to be able to get.
Well, you would have said that, and of course that was the case in the past. But of course in the African environment, in respect of telephones, landlines were very precarious because they were copper and people just stole the copper landlines.
Right.
So in fact, they were in those communities, they were ahead of us. I won't say far ahead, but they were ahead of us in terms of mobile phones.
Well, that's an unexpected thing that's come out from this today,
because
Tony.
That was the most effective way they could communicate. And for instance, mobile banking, they were way ahead of us on mobile banking because there weren't the facilities available. Well, we used to have lots of banks in the high street. We don't have so many now. But it was a way of them conducting business and developing their lives. So,
see, I think this interview, Tony, is going to be an eye-opener on a broader scale as to what the life is like for these people in this part of Kenya, beyond really what we're just talking about in relation to the school.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the side issues, going off at a slight tangent, was because mobile phones were so important to them and so popular, of course, we all have to charge up our mobile phones. And to cut the long story short, we provided money which we lent to the women in the community who could get solar panels, and they used to make money. Not a lot in our terms, but in their terms, you know, quite significant, by offering a charging service, which the men had to pay for in order to charge up their mobile phones.
You see, now this is really interesting, isn't it? Because, as you said, it's a side issue, but it's all connected, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And so that actually, in relation to, by simply having the vision to do this work to improve the educational facilities, everything else needs to be done as well in the background, as it were, or around it, to develop the whole community.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a further thing we did was we developed a link with Roxwell School, one of our local schools, through Hugh Dibbins, who, again, you know, who's an ordained minister. And we bought them a television screen, and we improved the router access so that they could talk directly from the school in the Muncha to Roxwell School. So students of the same age were talking to each other and sharing their experiences, which was beneficial to both sides. They could see how, you know, our kids were developing, but also the kids in Roxwell could see what was happening.
Absolutely.
In, you know, halfway across the world.
And they may have a better understanding of what life is like out there for people than people of you and I and our age.
Absolutely.
Have. Great, good. Let's have the second track that we've chosen for us. Now, I was quite surprised at this because, you know, it's Kenya where this is happening, isn't it? And yet you asked for the Zambian national anthem. So why have we got this?
Well, Zambia is where I first went to Africa before I went to Kenya. And this was the national anthem of Zambia, and it's the same tune that is used, that is the South African national anthem.
Yeah, I believe I saw it's about four or five countries all got the same tune.
Absolutely. So for me, it's just the sound of Africa. I mean, Africa's got its own sound, but it just reminds me of my time in Africa, in Zambia. I visited South Africa and other parts of Sub-Saharan Africa, and it just reminds me of a wonderful time and okay. a continent that I love so much.
Okay, before I play it then, how long did you live out there?
I lived out there for about 8 years.
Right, okay. And what were you doing?
I was running a motor company out there.
Okay.
Which is was totally random.
It's, right.
It was a midlife crisis, I think. But I went out there and I ran a, you know, which supplied Land Rovers and Range Rovers and Volkswagens and all sorts of other vehicles.
Wow.
And I fell in love in Africa, with Africa.
Well, brilliant. Good. Okay, thanks, Tony. Let's hear a Zambian national anthem. It's a Zambian national anthem, as chosen by my guest here, Tony, telling us about his time when he was a car salesman in Zambia, which I have to say, I've heard of some midlife crisis in my time, Tony, but that's quite a big one, that is, but good for you. But obviously falling in love with Africa and then this opportunity to become involved with this school. So when you first went there, there was just a primary school.
It was just a primary school. Known as the Namuncha Peace School, which was supported by the local community, Maasai community. But the possibilities for secondary education were quite limited because the nearest secondary school at that time was some miles away. And again, that discriminated against girls because families who had girls and boys prioritised the boys.
Of course they did.
Because they probably had to stay, in a boarding school, they had to travel for a long distance, and that cost money. And a lot of these families just could not afford that. So,
and I guess traditionally as well, the children might well be involved economically with supporting the families and working.
Absolutely. You know, particularly the girls... worked in the home a lot, but they had limited resources.
Sure.
And the boys obviously were trained to look after the cattle.
Sure.
And it was only selective boys who managed to go to a secondary school to give them a wider opportunity.
Yeah, so you saw this opportunity to develop a secondary school?
Absolutely. A secondary school was developed, quite complicated. We managed to get some money from a local... an MP, well, the equivalent of an MP over there.
Oh, okay.
Who, each MP is allocated a certain number of Kenyan shillings, and they can spend it on whatever they want, build a new road or build a new school.
Oh.
And so we persuaded them to spend some of that money on building a new school. But
was that difficult?
That wasn't too difficult, actually. It seemed to be popular electorally, which we all know about.
Sure.
But that was the good news. The bad news was it didn't have any equipment in it. It didn't have any desks or anything.
Oh, so they built the shell.
They built the shell. And so that was an opportunity for the Friends of Normansha, the charity, to raise money to do that, to buy sort of scientific equipment, to fit it out with desks and chairs, and make it viable as a secondary school. And that meant not only more boys could go, but it meant that more girls could go, as we were giving them more opportunities, because the cost was a lot less. Well, in fact, it was negligible. It meant that girls could have the same opportunities as boys.
And so how did you, how was it decided what kind of curriculum was going to be going on in these places?
Well, that was the Kenyan government. We didn't have any involvement in there. And it seemed quite sort of amicable to actually providing some teachers and some sort of learning resources, not the equipment, but two or three teachers who could man the school and develop the curriculum.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And then so, and also the Friends have been involved in a chimney project.
There was a chimney project where a lot of the members of that community lived. They lived in the sort of grass of the huts, and they built fires in the huts to cook all their food and what have you. But those huts used to get absolutely smoke-filled, and it affected the health. Was affecting the health of the families there. So we had a look at that and got somebody, I think, from Anglia Ruskin University, to come over to design chimneys which went through the sort of the roof of the their accommodation. And we funded the building of these chimneys so that that they flew out all the smoke. And, you know, it was the increase or the improvement in the health was quite amazing.
So how many times have you been out to visit all of this?
Four or five times.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
I was very lucky because I was working on behalf of the university. Out there, I could manage to slip away for a little while.
Brilliant. When was the last time?
Oh, unfortunately, I haven't been able to get, obviously because of COVID and all the rest of it. So it's probably about 6 or 7 years since I've actually been out there.
Sure.
Although I'm still very much involved.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Of course. So if anybody wants to know more about all of this, Tony, I've put all of the links for this on the show blog for today so that people can find the website and all of the information like that. But perhaps you just tell us where we would find this information.
Well, there is just put Friends of Normansha into, you know...
into Google or whatever.
Google or whatever, and that will take you straight to a number of websites, some of which I know you have visited as well, Patrick. Yes. But you'll get all the details there, details of the projects, many more than I have time to talk about. But there will be the opportunity to make a donation if you feel like it, or you want to support that project. But also maybe even support a scholarship, particularly for the girls.
Oh, all this sounds really interesting, Tony.
Not too expensive to do that, you know.
I'm aware, actually, having a little bit of knowledge about Africa as well, that actually our pounds go a long way.
They do indeed. And so, you know, it's not that expensive, and compared with what we're spending on all sorts of other things, on a cup of coffee we're spending £4, but, you know, £25 will buy a scholarship and support these children getting into higher education.
Brilliant. That's really good, Tony. Well, we'll have an opportunity to have another little bit of chat a bit later on as well, if you're still around, able to stay for that. Yeah. We are to do that. But the third of our tracks that you've asked for today, these are some of the Manucha primary school children singing. So what can you tell us about the children in general?
Well, the children love to sing and to dance. But equally as important, it's a vital means of communication, because one aspect, and I've talked briefly about the health, but we we've put in a nurse and we've improved the health facilities. But through song, children can get the health message out there. Because in the past, unfortunately, HIV/AIDS, when it was at its height, was a particularly, you know, it was a killer out there, particularly for all sorts of reasons. And getting the message out as to, you know, how you prevent it, how you conduct your life properly, sanitation, health and all that sort of thing, is communicated by song and dance. We developed that song and dance so that some of the children went and performed in competitions in other parts of Kenya. So it was really uplifting and important as far as the community is concerned.
So that's the children of an Ancha Primary School of Arizona, chatting along here with Tony about all of the work there. If you've just joined us and you've missed that, well, don't worry about it, because it's all been recorded. It'll all be there on the show blog for Friday, the 5th of April. The show blog will be up later this evening with all of the contact information on it there, and the recording will be at sometime over the weekend, probably tomorrow.
Phoenix FM's Events Guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
Just to tell you about an event that's happening next Friday, the 12th, if you're fancying an evening out, the Big Cheese Comedy Night is happening at Billericay Town FC, the New Lodge, Blunt's Wall Road in Billericay, CM12 9SA. Performances by a whole range of local comedians and a nationally known comedian there. Tickets will be £15. It's an 8 o'clock start, and more information can be found about that on the Eventbrite website.
Phoenix FM's Events Guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Visit us at 1 Copfold Road, Brentwood, or call on 01277 222269. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
And we'll be having the birthdays competition very soon.
Phoenix FM.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Looking for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. Book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Do you have talent, but nowhere to show it off? Do you have stage fright? Our online talent show mobile app contest from the comfort of your home. Singers, dancers, rappers, comedians, follow TK Talent Show and try to win a weekly cash prize. Winners can receive up to $100. All talent is welcome. Download TK Talent Show now. TK Talent Show. TK Talent Show.
At The Mortgage Specialists, we offer whole-of-market mortgage advice. We pride ourselves on keeping things personal, ensuring the advice you receive is perfect for your situation. With over 25 years' experience, we offer our clients clear, independent advice, delivered in a professional way. Whether you're moving, looking to renew your mortgage, or maybe looking to invest in buy-to-let, call us now on Brentwood 222932 to speak with us. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
Join me, Andy Gilson, every Friday evening on Phoenix 98 FM at 10 p.m. for 2 hours of great tracks from the 50s right through to the 1980s. Come on, everybody. That's 10 p.m. every Friday here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Guess the ages, guess the year. The Friday teaser on 123 with Patrick Schering on Phoenix 98 FM.
So it's that time on a Friday lunchtime when we have three artists who've had birthdays in recent times. I give you some clues about them and then you have to work out how old you think they are. And you can take part by emailing me in radio@phoenixfm.com. It's as simple as that. So if you get it absolutely right, you get 3 points. If you are the closest of all of those who are taking part today, you get 1 point. So we'll start off today with Eric Patrick Clapton, CBE. Who knew his middle name was Patrick? English rock and blues guitarist and songwriter, regarded as one of the most successful and influential guitarists in rock music. He ranked second in Rolling Stone's list of 100 guitarists of all time. After playing in a number of different local bands, Clapton joined the Yardbirds from 1963 to 65, John Mayall's Blues Breakers from 65 to 66, and after leaving Mayall, he formed the power trio Cream with drummer Ginger Baker and bassist Jack Bruch, in which Clapton played sustained blues improvisations and arty blues-based psychedelic pop. Clapton continued to record a number of successful solo albums and songs over the next few decades. He is only three times inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, once as a solo artist and separately as a member of the Yardbirds and of the Cream. In his solo career, he sold more than 280 million records worldwide, making him one of the best-selling musicians of all time. And in 1998, Clapton, a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, founded the Crossroads Centre on Antigua, a medical facility for those recovering from substance abuse. news. So how old do we reckon Eric Clapton is? Radio at phoenixfm.com if you think you know. We're going to hear the 1997 track Wonderful Tonight. Came from the album Slow Hand, which was a USA number 2, a UK number 3, top 10 in 6 more countries, and sold over 3 million tracks in the United States of America. So how old is Eric Clapton? Eric Clapton, the first of our three artists here today in the competition. And the next one that we've got here, Leona Lewis, OBE, a British singer, songwriter, actress and model, born and raised in Islington in London. She later attended the Brit School for Performing Arts and Technology in Croydon. Lewis achieved national recognition when she won the third series of the television talent show X Factor in 2006, winning a £1 million recording contract with Syco Music. Her winning single, a cover of Kelly Clarkson's A Moment Like This, peaked at number one for 4 weeks in the UK singles chart, a world record for reaching 50,000 digital downloads within 30 minutes. There's much more we could say about Leona Lewis. We're running out of time, so we're going to go straight into Brother in Time from her 2008 UK number two. How old do we think is Leona Lewis?
Thank you. closer to see somehow I can't forget you. After all that we've been through, you're gonna come and gonna hurt and not use that moment, thinking that I deserve it. Now I realize that I really didn't know. You didn't know this. You mean everything quickly. I'm learning to love again. All I know is I'm gonna be okay.
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.